welcome to Into the Blender, episode 45, live from Balticon. We have a very special episode for you.
What? Who are we?
Is this still family friendly?
We can throw an explicit on this. We knew we were running a risk having you on the panel.
All right.
Because we have underage kids in the audience, and I love being explicit.
We do?
Aww.
Is that Mom, one of your things?
Mom's all of a sudden, she's worried.
Mom?
I don't know who he's talking about.
He's not talking about you, honey. We're just going to ignore that.
Oh, that's one of the picks. So, they're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fine. Hi, I'm Viv.
Welcome to our show. We have some special guests with us this evening. We have Mr. P.G. Holyfield.
Hi.
Excuse me.
I was.
Mom.
We have
they're like a married couple, I swear.
Christian Ellis.
Woo! I'm Christian, and I'm a podcaster.
Hi, Christiana. Hi, Christiana.
And Thomas Command Line Gideon.
I talk into my mic, but I'm afraid of it. This mic is picking up the flies in the next room.
It's down.
It's still. Yes, I'm that loud. Okay, that's better.
Hot.
And because I talked over it, P.G. Holyfield.
Hi.
Award-winning.
Award nominated.
Hey, let's not throw that joke around to this panel, all right?
By the way, anybody that did not hear, Ms. Christiana Ellis won the bronze medal at the, what is it? Forward Magazine's
Forward
Book
Magazine
of the Year Awards.
Thank you. We brought everybody together here to talk about movies.
Yay, movies. Yay.
Something we love.
And adore. And spend a lot of money on.
And the movies are such a huge, ginormous topic that we thought we'd kind of bring it down. One of the two topics we wanted to talk about primarily. One is about the whole rash of the 3D, the third dimension.
Do they make a cream for that?
There's been a lot of debate about it because it's become so prevalent in the last few years. And we wanted to kind of get people's thoughts on what they think. Well,
is it overused?
First of all, we'll just kind of go down the line real fast.
Well, I don't think it's overused. I think that if you have a movie like Avatar where it's done right, it's great. If you have a movie like Clash of the Titans where they add 3D effects after the movie is completed, then it sucks. And if they continue to do things like that to try to cash in, because I spent $15 on a ticket for a movie that, you know, I didn't read the review, so I didn't know that it had added the 3D later.
I have an acquaintance who worked on that film, and I love her dearly.
If I had seen the movie in regular screen, I would have been very, very happy with it. But
I get you. I feel
seeing
you.
She
did the monsters.
The fake 3D was not good.
What she did.
I believe you.
She does a wonderful 2D goggles. She does a wonderful webcomic. That's why I love Sidney Padua so much. Charles Babbage, and to totally take over this panel. Sorry.
I'm sure her parts were great. The rest
so am
of the
I.
Movie.
I haven't seen them yet, so
you know, support.
Take that into account.
I think 3D is overused in the context of things like PG was saying with Clash of the Titans, where it was not made in 3D. They converted it to be in 3D just to cash in. And I think that there are some movies that are in 3D just so that they can say, oh, look, it's in 3D, and it really has no impact. I think it can be done well in some movies, but I do think it is overdone.
Do you think...
I hang out with lawyers, so I'm going to go to my favorite go-to answer. It depends. And I actually find that there's an odd paradox with 3D, that when you're watching a film like... I watch a lot of kids' films, and if we get into that, I have copious stores of knowledge, having an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old boy. But How to Tame Your Dragon... Train, tame, whatever.
Train.
I don't know.
Tame a dragon?
It's train.
Who cares what it's called? The 3D in that was done so that you didn't even notice it was in 3D. It was so seamless. Up was the same way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it kind of begs the question of if done well, you don't even notice it.
Yes.
Does it need to be done? And I've also, you know, I own the grand ultimate favorite awesome deluxe Up because I love Pixar and ever since WALL-E, I have to have all of them. And the 2D version on, you know, my high def, you know, modest high def screen at home still plays just as well as the 3D, as my memories of the 3D in the theater. So,
well, I would argue that Up is one of those stories that, although obviously visually fantastic, the story there is so rich. So even without that third dimension, there's still a lot to enjoy. And then there are people that argue that would argue that, like, Avatar is all visuals. So how will we? We didn't buy the home version yet, the Blu-ray version. We're waiting for
the real version hasn't come out.
Tooch didn't put up the special antenna to receive it from the.
We don't do
air.
That. No.
Well,
we have security clearances.
The Blu-ray of Avatar.
That we want to keep. We have jobs that require.
Say no
agreements
more.
Have been
I work
signed.
At DC too. Say yeah. No.
I have seen the Blu-ray of Avatar, and so it's in 2D, obviously, mm-hmm. and. It still looks great. I mean, the 3D was a nice addition, I thought, in the theater. I enjoyed that about it, but at the same time, it's not necessary. That's it's good. Just like
did you find
an extra
the,
little nice
the,
thing in the theater, and that's all.
Did you find the Na'vi to be as visually compelling, as visually realistic in the 2D? Because I found that 3D in the theater got in the way of being able to make a critical judgment, whether the rendering was as realistic as the live actors. And I'm curious, since you've seen it.
I thought so. I you know, just on the record here, I mean, I am actually a fan of Avatar. I really liked it, and not
as
only for the visuals. And so, but at the same time, I enjoyed the 3D in the theater. I thought it was a nice addition, but honestly, I didn't miss it when I watched it at home.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to do a quick question. You'd mentioned that they're doing 3D because the hype and because that's the thing you do. Some people have a more cynical look to it, and I'm wondering if people agree that they're doing 3D because they can charge a higher ticket price, and that's the only real reason they do it.
Well, one thing that it actually does allow them to do is report higher box office sales records, which is a big part of their PR in terms of saying, you know, they can say their movie broke the sales record or had this, you know, level of success in the box office, but and I think there is maybe that element to it, but I mean, at least as far as the theaters are concerned, I think what Avatar showed was, you know, they had it playing in some theaters in 2D and they had it in other theaters in 3D, and people went to see the ones in 3D more than the ones in 2D.
True, very true. Yeah. Dan, you had something to say?
I was just going to note that ticket prices have now gone up to $20 because of 3D. Mm-hmm. There's a theater in Times Square that reported for Shrek 4 that they finally hit the $20 mark.
Yeah. Wow.
I read that article.
How much is the popcorn in that theater? That's what I want to know.
You don't want to know. You got to sign credit agreements and everything.
Take out a line of credit on a large bucket of popcorn.
And how did you guys feel about Iron Man 2 not being in 3D? Because the fact it wasn't filmed in 3D, they could have easily... Iron Man 2. What did I say?
Did you say 3?
No, it's Iron Man 2. That's why it's not a 3.
Oh, gotcha. Yes, Iron Man 3.
They're waiting for the third one. Duh.
Way to go, Rob.
Yes, well, there you go.
See, I didn't get the joke. But I really... At first, I was disappointed that Iron Man 2 was not in 3D. Strong. But I also was really... happy
focus.
That they... I'm trying.
Focus.
He's talking.
Come on, Viv.
I respected the fact that they didn't take the 2D and then convert it to 3D just to inflate, just to get the bigger hype. And we saw it in 2D, and it was fantastic, and I didn't miss the 3D. Yeah. So what do you guys feel about that? I mean, did you miss it? Did you think they should have done the...
Not in the slightest.
No.
See, this is why we got you.
Not in the slightest. Well, the special effects were solid. Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. is the best actor of our generation, bar none.
Absolutely.
I thought it was a great movie, and the thing is... Our brain fills in the third dimension when we watch a movie. It doesn't need to be in 3D. You can create that, when I say that effect, I just mean, you know, we've watched 2D movies for a long time, and it's not like we've constantly felt, oh, this picture is so flat. If only it looked like it was sticking out into my face.
If only there was some technology where yo-yos could fly at my head.
Right. And
an
so,
axe.
And
axe.
And so that's not to say that a 3D can...
That's a good point.
I mean, I think
that's
it can look cool. It's just, it's when it's done well, it's a nice addition, but not really necessary. But... when it's done badly, it's really distracting, Clash of the Titans. And then I think that got such bad press for being done badly that I think we're probably not going to see a lot more movies like that. where they actually made it in 2D and then converted it retroactively.
I hope you're right. That's
all. Are you guys going to rush out and get the 3D players that they're working out right
oh,
now?
Oh, hell no.
No. And what about the 3D TVs? That, you know?
Still got to wear the glasses.
Yeah.
Who wants to sit in your home theater with freaking polarized lenses on?
Right. Well, I'm, when
even
I,
if they make $30 versions that are, you know,
that
look like Oakley's.
That deflect
or
the 3D gremlins like monster cables deflect the humbucking.
Gotta buy monster when I, cables.
A coat hanger would work as well. I mean, for crying out loud.
When I watch TV at home, whether it's a movie or just a TV show or whatever, I mean, sometimes I'm sitting there right on my couch, right in front of the TV and giving it all my attention.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But sometimes I'm up, you know, chopping vegetables in the kitchen and kind of leaning over and looking at it. And then sometimes I'm over at my computer desk, which is at a different angle. And sometimes I'm walking around back, you know, on the phone or playing with Luna on the floor. And the 3D, when you have to wear the glasses, doesn't, it's not suited for that. You need to be sitting there right in front of it.
You lost me at vegetables.
What are these vegetables of which you speak?
Something that I found interesting, in the theaters, there's two predominant 3D technologies right now. And which is kind of cool. It's always good when there's a standard.
Competition's good.
And I've heard that some of the designer sunglass makers are starting to make designer 3D glasses. So instead of using the theater glasses, you
buy.
So
you can have a headache all of the time.
It's your Coach.
The thing is, the theater will still make you buy.
Aww.
The parent. It's just, they're going
to. But you don't get to keep them. They want you to put them in the stupid recycling box.
I know, but if you take
out.
It home with you and bring your set back to the movies the next time, they still make you buy a new pair.
Oh.
They won't sell you the ticket without paying for the glasses.
Hmm.
There's a whole other scam involved with 3D, of course. I'm surprised you didn't bring that up.
No.
The whole,
well, you're welcome.
The whole hedge against piracy.
Oh.
You know, that's the big bugbear in Hollywood. They're afraid of people not going to the theaters because they can just wait and get a Blu-ray rip when that comes out. Or somebody pirates it in the theater, probably someone in Canada, because apparently that's where all the camcorder pirates lives in Canada. So 3D, up until like the Samsung 3D televisions came out at CES in January, was the, that's why you got to come to the theater. You can't watch 3D at home. You're going to totally miss out.
It's kind of a weird thing to me because we bought a new television, what, 2 years ago? And it had 3D already.
It had the
really?
Setting for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's a plug in the back of my TV that says
it plugs
3D
into your glasses?
It does the shutters and...
Oh, is that the active?
Yeah.
Oh, that's different than what, like, Samsung rolled out the passive with
the... Oh, okay.
No. They're pushing the same thing they're using in the theater, the real 3D or whatever they're calling it, which is just the polarized. Yes, for you, Viv.
That's just another reason, though, why being an early adopter for that sort of technology is tricky because there's different standards and you don't necessarily... Yeah. I mean, you know, who
HD
in the audience
DVD
owns
much?
Yeah, owns an HD DVD player? Anyone? Anyone?
I didn't even know it had it.
Yeah, sucker.
Well, so I just mean, you know, when... Well, no, PS3 is Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's
we got
kind
a
of,
comment down here.
Well, I was just saying that... What about the gaming? Because they're starting to push gaming into 3D, and they're not just remaking movies for 3D, but they're actually remaking games for 3D.
Well, you know what?
I saw some of those at PAX East.
We went to PAX East a couple months ago. There was one booth with one monitor with one game.
Is it like Virtual Boy?
We didn't wait through the line to release.
There was this ginormous warehouse, every publisher on the planet.
My eyes.
One booth, one monitor,
well,
one 3D game. But I agree, it's totally coming.
That's the tip.
Yeah.
I actually think.
Trying to roll it out in the
oh, the new,
but that's
new
different.
Handheld system.
Yeah, that's different. That's a weird parallax thing they're doing with the.
Yeah, three. Which is on technology like 5 years old.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I see the gaming is more of a one-on-one personal thing, not like television or movies when you're going to be doing something else.
I get seasick, sadly enough, from high-resolution FPSs today in 2D. I can't imagine playing, like, Far Cry in 3D. I'd be constantly throwing up on my gaming rig.
That was me playing...
Whipping my head.
That was me playing... playing Descent in the mid-90s.
These video games confuse me.
360 spaceship, yeah.
God, Wolfenstein made me sick the first time I saw it. Yeah, so we know who's as old as I am in the audience.
Something else I wanted to talk about.
Shut up and take your pads off, PG.
Do this.
That was the prerequisite for you being on the panel. Pantsless PG.
I am wearing shorts. Thank you very much.
Technicality.
Technicality at
short
best.
Shorts.
At best.
Still judges?
No, thank you. Flash. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, PG. Next
think
question,
of the
please.
Next that's what I have to say.
Oh, my eyes.
Something else we wanted to talk about, and maybe we do this kind of like a lightning round, see if, you know, we don't want to talk. See, everybody has an opinion on each individual thing. The reboot madness. We took out some select titles that are currently slated to be made, remade, rebooted. Started over again and kind of get some off the top of your head opinions about.
And these are ones that have tentative dates,
these
start dates, film
release
dates,
dates,
release
these
days.
Aren't rumored, you know, and possibles. Arthur.
Arthur. The Dudley Moore, Moore movie.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
They're talking about, I think, Russell Brand for that.
No, I don't care.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's bad.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the quintessential.
We can live without that reboot, do we think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Audience, can we live without a reboot of Arthur, generally? Should we
I
just
can live without the original.
All
right.
No,
I
disagree with that. I mean, that's, that, oh, I love,
that was
I
one
love
of my HBO movie. Things anytime it came up.
Yeah, because, I mean...
I actually have a deep thought
quintessential
on the subject of remakes.
Drunk yeah. movie.
My wife is a big... classic film buff.
Yes.
And she's been going through a terror of watching stuff that's pre-Hays Code, so pre-1930-something,
oh, yeah.
mm-hmm. and post, and comparing a lot of black and white. And she had a very interesting observation about movies before the VHS.
Mm-hmm.
Remakes were incessant, were constant. She actually watched, like, five different versions of this movie, Gold Diggers, up through 1933 yeah. or so.
I ain't saying she's a gold... No.
No Kanye jokes, okay? Because I won't get them.
Well, you did.
But her point is, before the VHS, you didn't have the ability to compare the remake to the original or the remake to an older remake.
True.
You had to go back. You had no choice. When you didn't have Blu-ray, DVD, HD, DVD before it died, VHS, on and so forth. So remakes were not stigmatized in the same way. It was, and there were, maybe we still have strong troops of actors, but back then it definitely was much more about a director taking a troop of actors, mm-hmm. stupid microphone, with them from film to film. So you'd get different, it was like covers, the way musicians did covers. And now we're kind of post that ability to own a film in perpetuity. That's what's changed. Is you can compare these remakes. So
yeah.
My thought is just, you know, maybe we need to be a little softer on the remakes and the reboots. That it's not necessarily that, you know, sure, some of the execution of them is going to be poor or ill-considered, but how much of it is also the fact that we have our beloved DVD or Blu-ray of the original that we can compare scene by scene, shot by shot, and say, this is crap because, you know,
well,
I can look back at the original.
Just because something's... That's the way it's been done doesn't mean it was right.
No, I understand that. But this is what technology has wrought.
No,
I'm just saying.
No original thoughts in Hollywood, yeah. you know.
Well, there's no original thoughts anywhere.
Yeah. But
the idea is not important. It's the expression.
Well,
so a reboot is just a different expression.
No,
you have to judge it on the merit of the expression.
To your point,
idea.
Though, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you could do a remake every 5 years, and it was
you
a
could
new
put a
group.
Dancing monkey on the
could,
screen
yeah.
40
you,
years
but
ago.
But you had a new group of people that had maybe had never seen the previous one.
Sure.
Whereas now you've got...
Yeah, exactly. It's part of my point, is that we can take the original Star Wars, even though they did re-release those in the theaters, if they had not, we still had them on DVD to show mm-hmm. our kids, and then they can compare the prequels and all of the one-offs and so on, and the Clone Wars and everything that they do.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the differences, though, in...
I disagree with you.
I think that's a great point, but I think one of the differences in some of the remake fever that we've been seeing in, you know, more recent years is that... When you could not go back and watch an old movie, it was essentially all about saying, this was a good story, and we think we can make another good movie from that story. Whereas now, I think what a lot of it is that they are very deliberately and consciously attempting to capitalize on the fact that people remember the original in hoping to get them to come see the new one.
Well, and that, honestly... If you don't mind, it leads me to the next one on our list, which is The Birds, which I have trouble fathoming The Birds without Hitchcock directing.
Or Tippi Hedren.
Well, Gus Van Sant.
Well, they've got Naomi Watts is rumored to be that role, but...
I don't know who that
know.
Is.
I call shenanigans.
This is not the first Hitchcock remake, though, of course.
I watch
true.
Kids' movies now.
And
you watch Mulholland Drive?
I haven't seen
that
it.
Was
like
King
before
Kong?
You had kids, I...
Oh, okay. King Kong I did see. I wish I hadn't seen King Kong.
I would say, though, that The Birds is actually probably a good one, because even though the suspense is Hitchcock, you know, and it's a wonderful story, and it's filmed very nicely, the special effects are so dated that the film is very hard for me to watch now. Mm.
It still scares me.
To me, one thing, Hollywood is one of those industries that makes all of their decisions fear-based. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to take chances. They want the easy...
Well,
there's too much money riding.
They think is the guarantee.
Yeah, and I mean, most movies do not ultimately make a profit for the studios.
Right.
Most movies do not make a profit.
Venture capital and software.
And so, then, yeah, it's really only the blockbusters that... Yeah.
And then the other thing is when you take an idea and you, instead of rebooting or remaking, and you do something new with it, you also get raked over the coals.
Yeah.
With, like, Avatar.
It's a gamble.
Everybody says, oh, this story's been told over and over. Well, mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was told pretty well.
Yeah, I thought so.
It was a lot of fun.
It's a classic story.
Yeah.
Is what I... But I think... The perfect example of what I think is wrong with some of the remakes is the new Karate Kid one, which you may have on your list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But my objection here is if you watch the trailer, it doesn't look half bad, honestly. I mean, it's a family movie, but what the problem is in the trailer, it takes place in China, not Japan. The kid learns Kung Fu. They make this a big deal over and over in the trailer. He's learning Kung Fu.
Not karate.
And it's called The Karate Kid because people know the name, The Karate Kid, even though in the movie, it's not karate. There's a difference. And the movie makes a point of that, but then they call it The Karate Kid.
Not just the movie. There's
a sentimental value.
There's some producer who's come out and said, you know, they're in the extended trailers or, you know, specials they've done to promote it. With Bruner's, it's not a remake, but we totally want to capitalize on the brand, which reinforces your point. I don't disagree with you, but I think it's interesting to compare, you know, pre-VHS, why people remade things, and your point about post-VHS, they're doing something different.
Yeah, so I mean,
I think that's a good example. I think that's a great example.
Great historical context, what you're saying, and I still think there's a new
phenomenon.
Zach?
Oh, sorry.
Are there reboots that you would support, or that you think would be?
I think the A-Team movie looks really good.
Well, it's never the been preview, a movie, so
yeah. Well, it's a reboot of the TV show. I mean, you know,
that counts.
There's some shows that should not be rebooted.
I agree. I think A-Team looks like a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
But they did that.
Oh, Golden Girls movie.
Golden Girls movie.
Where?
They're
it
a little
be
older
like
now.
Sex in the City, the but for the octogenarian set.
Which we're getting there.
I'm getting closer. We're getting every there. Year.
Well, another couple quick ones. Conan.
Unnecessary,
see,
but know, okay.
I'm optimistic. I think it'll come off.
I mean, maybe it'll be good.
I love the original
but
movie.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they would have to, it'll be a very different movie.
Yes. Exactly.
One that is kind of breaking my heart, The Crow.
Oh. Does the lead actor have to die when they make the movie?
I don't know if that was in the casting call.
Yeah, that would be a
good chance you might get.
They'd have to give him a pretty hefty back end percentage in order to agree with that in context.
I would agree. Hefty. Yeah, that'd be a pretty hefty advance.
But what about the Crow sequels and like the last one went straight to DVD?
TV show.
Yeah, are you comparing it to the original with Brandon Lee, which I agree is a classic and really stands up, especially since it's so ironic that his death pulled it back to the to James O'Barr's original story from the weird sort of place Hollywood took it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I don't a great know. Soundtrack. But
brilliant soundtrack.
But I mean they're doing a reboot and they haven't I was unable to find anybody attached to the lead role. But
The Crow begins even more gothier.
Shopping at Hot Topic and whatnot.
So released in 2011, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Blade director Stephen Norrington.
Mm-hmm. But there's no actress assigned. And of course we know Footloose. Everybody knows that Footloose is being done. Chase Crawford.
No problem with that.
I think, see, Footloose, I think, is
an act.
That, the original movie is good, but I think it's a perfect example of a movie that is so much of its own time and place.
You could redo it.
That a lot, you know,
Maybe it could be a historical
younger kids
piece.
Today are less likely to be able to relate to it because it's so much 80s.
Yeah.
And if they make a new one with roughly the same
it'll be like the Kung Fu Kid,
story,
I mean the Karate
it's,
Kid.
It's again, it's kind of like with Avatar, is like there have been similar plots before.
Right.
Yeah. And see, that one I don't mind so
it
much.
Was in the execution.
Although the minute work and police jokes won't work. But
that's probably just as well.
Allie, have they done Footloose on Glee?
No, not yet.
Okay, just wanted to know. Not that I'm going to watch it, but...
The Lady Gaga's coming.
And also a difference with this Footloose is that it's a movie musical. The original had a lot of music, but it wasn't actually...
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Even less reason to watch it.
I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of musical theater.
Interesting. So it's going to kind of pick up on the popularity of Glee, too.
I know.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
I know I'm probably in the vast minority. I have never watched Glee.
Flash Gordon.
What?
Flash Gordon?
I want to hear the reaction to that.
What?
Flash Gordon.
New Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon
but
in 3D,
didn't the
a
sci-fi
reboot.
TV
show.
Series like totally shut down.
I mean,
they wanted to. Queen, Sam Jones, Topol.
B. Jones.
Yeah.
B. Jones.
Zach is gesturing wildly, and I can't figure out what he means.
I think his pants are on fire.
Well, that too. But while I'm still here burning, I'd just like to say Flash Gordon remake, great, but 3D
reboot
makes me go.
Only if they use the same spaceship from
think
the 1979 movie.
Think of the Hawkman.
Flash.
But how could you have the Hawkman without Brian Blessed?
Yeah. Well, you could still have him. Did he die?
But he's ancient.
I know, but he looked bad
could
in that movie.
Could you get Timothy Dalton back to be Baron? I mean, come on.
How about a reboot of Predator?
Well, it's not a... Well, I guess it is a reboot, yeah. But...
Well,
it's
Adrian still, Brody.
That one, it's, the tagline, it's just a new
summer.
Movie with the Predators.
Predators.
I mean, that's really all it is.
It's vlogging the franchise.
I don't
this
even
summer.
Feel like it's an...
No.
It's not
it's on
really
a
remake.
It's
just
on a list
a new
of
one.
Reboots, and it's got Adrian Brody and Topher Grace, who I love, and Lawrence Fishburne.
I love Lawrence Fishburne.
See, the cast actually makes me go, maybe.
What
and
you
I'm
need
not
to realize is you are the one, Neo.
Yeah, that's
along
what it
with
makes
Conan,
me
we'll get
yeah,
Sonya.
Rich had a comment.
Oh, sorry.
Now, you guys are talking about Predators. That's one with Chris Hansen, right?
That was this panel 2 hours ago.
Zing.
Sad trombone.
Oh, real quick.
I thought the bazinga was implied.
So we have Red Sonja, which I was excited about.
Yeah.
I saw a kick-ass poster with Ooh. Rose McGowan.
You know, I'm not sure.
That's an odd casting choice.
It works for me.
She's out now. She's out.
But that's the thing. I was real positive, and now... She's gone, and they're
she's
talking
gone.
About
yeah, she's
Megan Fox.
No.
I love you guys.
Although Jit Nielsen's still around, I'm sure
yeah,
you know,
so
Flavor Flav would be on
red
board.
Hair.
I don't know about the casting there, but I do have to say, I mean, Red Sonja, I think, is another example of one that could be remade, because yeah. I think there was a lot more potential in that
yeah.
character, and the original
yeah.
movie was not really
it
great. And so
I agree.
They,
I don't
that
I agree.
Really had some room for improvement. There was enough potential.
But, the
but no longer with Kevin... With Yeah, Kevin Fox. Megan Fox.
Matthew Fox, yeah.
Where's my flask?
Matthew Fox is...
Matthew Fox
is Red Sonja.
Yeah.
Red Sonja and Flash Gordon are both ones that are right on the edge there. They could be really great, or they could be really horrible,
yeah.
depending
yeah.
on whether they really have a new interpretation, or if the studio is just flogging the brand to try to rake some more money out.
Right. Actually, about Flash Gordon, there's an online series coming out very
yes.
soon. I believe by the guys who do some of the Star Trek online stuff. And it's
phase
it's,
two?
I think so.
New Voyages, two. Now
yeah.
the phase two.
And what they're doing is they're doing a, going back to the original comic
but
strips.
Isn't that Buck Rogers? I thought that was Buck
yeah.
Rogers that was
so
getting a web episode.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my
so,
bad.
Yeah, no. But Buck Rogers is not Flash Gordon in.
Yeah.
I mean, let's.
Okay.
Buster Crab.
I will check this out.
What?
June 2011.
Hey.
He was the
focus.
Original Flash
hey.
Gordon.
June 2011. James Franco.
They're not listening. Let the children finish. Go ahead.
No.
Crab, we're old. I'm sorry.
Done.
Go.
June 2011, James Franco in Rise of the Apes, the Planet of the Apes prequel.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Because, honestly... I love the whole series of the original Planet of the Apes movies, but
did you see them?
That the same that I love them is not synonymous with saying that they're good. And so honestly, I would totally go see a half serious, half cheesy, awesome, ridiculous new Planet of the Apes
fun
movie.
Interpretation.
I would totally go to see that.
I actually like the Tim Burton version.
Ooh.
Until the very end.
I thought that was popcorn fun.
Yeah.
Check your brain out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, until the very end. And yeah, if they do like a remake of the original where they
Carter.
Have the you know, the chimp in the cage and Roddy McDowell, they use his voice and talk. Okay.
Buster Crab.
Buster Crab.
Okay, another other one. Warriors.
Come out and play. Yay.
Okay, half the audience.
I only know that
not
line. I
really?
Yeah, I have no attachment to the original, so I don't even really have any comment on the remake.
Yeah.
Tony Scott's attached to it, but
really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It could be good.
Yeah.
Another one that
Glee
had me scratching my head.
Glee.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Another one that really had me scratch my head. Yellow Submarine.
What?
Yeah.
The Beatles' Yellow Submarine redone by Robert Zemeckis with his wonderful
animated
dead-eye
still.
Motion capture technology.
Yeah. Little Paul, I've got a hole in my pocket.
Actually, Peter Serafinowicz is
Ringo.
Going to play, I believe, Paul McCartney.
Oh, he's
right. Voice of Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Is going to play Paul McCartney.
Also, Cary Elwes.
Doesn't he do
attached.
A full tribute?
Yes,
he does,
well, he
like
does.
All four of the Beatles, and it's
that's
eerie.
Anyone
right
who
there.
Does not
that's
know
girl.
Peter Serafinowicz,
go to
look him up. He has done
boing
tons
boing
and
video.
Tons of
net.
Awesome stuff in addition to being the voice of Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Is that the guy that does Ian McCollum?
He does tons of people.
He does
Alan Alda.
Oh, God.
Out of context theater.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Animated.
The Yellow Submarine one is it's going to be the motion capture animation like Polar Express and you know
Polar
the
Express
Christmas Carol
creepy.
One. Yeah,
it was very creepy.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah. Hard to watch.
Although the technology is improving. I mean,
that's true.
Just if you look at the successive iterations of that type of movie, they're getting better.
Okay,
true.
Which is yeah,
and that's.
Because,
to come out
because we might have to move on, there's one that you have next, or that I need to mention, just because it offends
it.
Me so much. A live action Akira.
No.
Now these are not confirmed.
Well,
we don't have release dates.
The last
we don't have
I heard,
dates.
It was
these are
a
rumors.
Leonardo DiCaprio associated with it.
That's the rumor.
That was,
I'm going to go on the record of saying I like Leonardo DiCaprio.
I like
and
him
I don't
too.
Care who knows it.
I just threw up in my mouth a little.
I don't mind.
I'll see
if
he's in.
Well,
he does
now, at
he
the same time, I agree. Live action Akira is a bad idea.
Thank you.
Now, is there a point where it's too soon to reboot a movie?
Yes. Well, no, not really. I mean,
I have an example.
Yes.
Spider-Man.
Hulk.
Lost.
Yeah. Lost. What? Was so bad.
Well, but that was the whole point, though, is that you know that's why I started to say yes, it can be too soon. Except I immediately thought of an example where I didn't think that it qualified. I thought it was an example of could be extremely soon and still be a good idea.
That's kind of funny because all my examples are also superhero movies. So Spider-Man's going to reboot. Yeah. Superman's going to reboot.
Again?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. It's rebooting again. Well, it's
not brand new.
I liked it.
Yeah,
I saw it in the theater. I saw the Superman reboot in the theater with my kids, and when they used parts of the original score, I almost openly wept. I'm man enough to admit that. Because my kids like totally missed out on Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
And so this was kind of a bridge, and you know, that may be the total remaining value of that film is just that moment, you know, geek dad to geek sons, but it's
well,
there.
And this is
That turn where he did that at the end of the first Christopher Reeve
does
the sort of turn, looks at the camera. Mm-hmm. Did you have the new one?
No, I don't think so. There were other nods though to Reeve's
I think Rich had
it to someone.
Rich had a question.
With you guys talking about whether or not something's too soon, what about Death at a Funeral?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't mentioned that before, but that was a movie that was 3 years old and remade it.
Now, it's one thing.
That.
Yeah, it's one thing when you have a movie like, say, Let the Right One In, which is a great foreign film, yeah. And they're making an American version. And I can buy that in the sense that, yeah, okay, well, there's people who, for whatever reason, are just refuse to read subtitles, and so they're not willing to see something in another language. But... Yeah.
Like, but, Dad, put your hand
but
down.
The original Death at a Funeral was in English. I mean, it was a British film, but, I mean, it's in English. And so they decided to just remake it in American.
American.
Now, at the same time, I mean, if it wasn't just an obvious ripoff of the one that came out just the previous year, you know, but I guess The Office is a good example, though. I mean, just because it's a remake that might be completely unnecessary does not inherently make it a bad movie.
Agreed. Yeah. I can totally agree with that.
Plus, it makes enough people go watch the original that it's worth it.
Thank you.
That brings up the question as to whether or not it really was a remake or whether or not the person that wrote the script sold it in Britain and then sold it in the States. Mm.
Well, like with The Office, exactly what it was with The Office.
Exactly, reboot, it's a translation.
Right.
And
they did an American translation.
I think it's really worked because they took the things that really worked about it, but they changed it enough to appeal to American audiences.
Merchant.
I love both of them. Yeah. And from the first episode, they were very, very similar. It was almost the exact same first episode. But then they went in subtle different ways and let the boss develop differently. And one is very American, one is very British. And I think they're...
I remember hearing about that, too, but I haven't heard about that recently.
Ah, they're both named Dick. It'll be fine.
Dick York. Dick Sergeant. Sergeant York. York. Now, talking about too soon, and I heard this at some point a couple months ago, but I don't know if anybody's heard any more about Battlestar Galactica, the movie with somebody else, completely different group doing it.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I remember that rumor, too.
I remember.
But it came out and then nothing after.
Maybe it's just like some sort of rumor. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I would go on the record saying while I don't deny that they could maybe make a good movie of it, I think it's a bad idea generally.
Mm. This is another anime to live action, Battleship Yamamoto.
Yeah.
Have you seen the
except
trailers?
The teaser trailer for that?
Yeah.
Does look very however, awesome. I saw the teaser trailer for Kashan, and the movie was a bit of a letdown. It had its moments, but it... So,
well, that one, I think there's a lot of animes that I think would not translate well to live action at all. But that one, I think, is
look at the face. Rob mentioned
I loved Speed Racer, it's one of my favorite movies of the year.
Yeah, did you ever watch the cartoon?
Yes,
sure, she did.
I saw it. I like the movie better than the cartoon. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But Chim Chim is in the trunk. Oh.
That's right.
But when
how did you survive in the whole race? Oh.
But when you're talking about Star Blazers or Battleship Yamamoto.
Yeah. No, but the teaser trailer is incredible. I've said my piece on that. Amazing. The teaser trailer could
that was
be
my favorite.
That's it.
That was my favorite cartoon when I was a teenager. So yeah.
I have to ask a question. This is a rumored reboot. Highlander.
There can be only one.
Thank. That was exactly our reaction.
There was only one.
PG?
I liked Adrian.
Wait.
Only
Adrian
PG's calculating.
No, I appreciated every Highlander except for the second movie.
Every except.
If they want to do another one, I'm in because I just love that story. I love. Yeah. I don't care. I will still go. It's horrible, but I'll still appreciate it because it's Highlander.
I heard. Moment to put people on the spot. We'll start with Thomas. What is your most eagerly anticipated movie that's coming soon to a theater near you?
Trailers in movie theaters you've seen.
You didn't give me time to prepare for this one, you bastard.
Uh-huh.
We didn't?
No. The questions you asked me beforehand were entirely different. I was led to believe there would be no math.
Would you like to pass and go to Christiana?
Come back to me. I see movies in the theater so rarely having kids, and I have to think about that.
Well, movies that you're looking forward to as opposed
I understand
to
that.
The children are looking
I
forward,
understand
right?
that, and it's tough.
The movie I'm most looking forward to in the near future is Inception, the new movie by Christopher Nolan.
She took my DiCaprio,
it just looks really cool and surreal, and it's a neat idea. Christopher Nolan obviously does good work, and it just looks really cool. So I'm excited for that one.
It's got a little bit of the kind of Dark City feel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love Dark City.
Well, just like it's Rufus got the whole trippy idea of like someone's like stealing people's dreams or something. And then you get all these weird things like a train driving down the center of the city block or
city folding city on
folding
itself.
Folding up on itself and falling sideways down a hallway. And yeah, it looks really cool.
Besides Glee, the movie.
Stop pandering to the audience, PG.
Yeah, I know. You gotta do what you gotta do. I mean, the only thing that I've seen, and I'm woefully behind on watching previews, and I can't think of one other than the A-Team was the last one that I saw that made me say, I want to see this movie, because it just looks fun, and I'm into it.
That is a valid answer.
Thank you. I did not fail.
Yes. Like he did, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, like I did.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, and it's not going to happen, but I'm still in great anticipation of the Joss Whedon interpretation of Wonder Woman with my girl. Say it.
Marina girl. Backer in.
That's it. Can there be any other Wonder Woman besides...
He wrote a script. He had Marina in mind.
Wasn't there...
The studio canceled it because they wanted to go in a different direction.
Isn't it... Well, there's been a whole bunch of different actresses mentioned, but then the whole thing kind of... I'm not sure if they're even working on it now.
I don't think they are.
I heard a rumor that Joss Whedon is on a short list to be the director of the Avengers movie.
Yeah, I can see that.
Confirmed.
Awesome.
Thank you, daughter. Pick.
The audience.
Rock on.
Okay. Next up to put people on the spot was best five movies of the last year.
The last year.
Anything you've seen. It doesn't have to have been released.
Well, we were
going to
do one of the
last
year and then the best top five of all time.
Okay.
So.
Just come up with
so we've got like 5 minutes. You guys can pick which one. Would you rather do last year? Would you rather do?
I'd rather. All I time. Can't even
all
think
time.
Of.
All
okay,
time.
Do you want to go all time?
All time. All time.
Top five.
Star Trek was
Blade Runner, Brazil, Nausicaa.
Are you going to alphabetical?
Nausicaa.
Nausicaa. You named a movie. I don't know.
I forget what four was in Yellowbeard.
Crap. I didn't have my. I didn't have my notes. What was four?
That's the second time Yellowbeard's come up this weekend.
Third time. That's the third Yellowbeard reference this weekend. I didn't think about this. That's a cute earring.
That's a cute earring.
You have a cute earring.
I forgot what number four was.
Son of a Yellowbeard, a gardener. Prod my loin, my foot.
My turn now?
I almost if I had my printout, I'd remember what four was, and I can't because my wife and I deliberated over this. And Blazing Saddles almost made the cut, but we put Yellowbeard above
Young
it.
Young Frankenstein, maybe?
It's close, but I'd have to say that's six or seven on the list. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what four was. I think it was another animated film.
Christiana?
You know, Nausicaa wasn't originally one of the ones I was going to mention, but I love that movie.
Miyazaki for the win.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I remember. Seven Samurai.
You just took one of mine. I win.
You did? Yes. You already did one with Blade Runner.
Suck it, PG.
That is not one of the five that you have.
No, but I was about to write that.
They're allowed to overlap. You can have the same.
He already wrote down five. That was not one of them.
I was about to write that down.
I can't believe he didn't say it.
Did you already do it?
No.
PG, that would have been the perfect usage of son of a bitch.
I've been trying to get him to say that all evening.
I know.
Again, underage kids. I'm trying to be good. Son of a bitch!
Thank you. Was
a taste
that
of
so
Dragon
hard?
Con. A taste of Dragon Con.
Why does that produce such applause?
It's just the way you say it, PG. Yes.
It's just you.
Okay, Christiana.
So,
pants are standing.
My top five favorite films, really, it changes a lot. I mean, because, you know, it's a common question, but it changes a lot. Nausicaa is definitely up there, but... let's see. I really love Amadeus.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Moulin Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Never Cry Wolf is one that I feel like a lot of people haven't seen. It's one of the live-action Disney movies of like the early 80s. It's about a university researcher who is basically tasked to investigate whether or not wolves are depleting the caribou population up in, like,
he lives amongst the Arctic. The
and so he is utterly, like, completely unprepared for this type of thing, to actually do field research of whether wolves are the ones eating the caribou out in the wild. But so his experience of going through this whole thing, it's amazing. It's a wonderful movie. Let me think. What else? Nausicaa is definitely there.
that was so Muppets.
And you know what? The Abyss. I love The Abyss.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful...
The Director's
James
Cut.
Cameron fan
the
right
Director's Cut.
Yes.
Director's Cut.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The theatrical cut is okay, but it's...
N-A-U-S-I-C-A. Ask me when I'm sober.
Yeah. Okay. Is that it? Okay, movies. He took took Blade Runner, so I'm not gonna do that.
You're allowed to have the same.
You can have the same. It's okay, babe.
He
just borrowed it.
Did you just shush me?
Oh no, you didn't.
No, it was him. It was him. I swear.
Did you just shush Mama?
No,
I don't think you did.
It was him. I swear.
You are so grounded.
Don't look at me.
Continue, please.
Okay. You mentioned Brazil.
So I love all of Terry Gilliam's works, even the bad ones.
So mine's
going to
be 12 Monkeys, because I like that more than Brazil. sorry.
How could you put 12 Monkeys above any of the Dreams trilogy? Really?
Because.
Fine. We'll fight later.
Just because.
Better
Discuss.
Time travel movie fine. Than most.
Brazil was not a time travel movie. Time Bandits was, but continue.
Time Bandits wasn't even a movie. It was a series of sketches.
I own a replica of the map.
You're not making friends.
I know. I'm just
not making friends.
I just said that for him. Okay.
Bring it with me.
Empire Strikes Back.
For Martin. Digital watches.
My favorite Coen Brothers movie, which isn't many people's favorite Coen Brothers movie, Miller's Crossing. If you haven't seen it, please do. Gabriel Byrne at his best. My favorite movie is The Lion and Winner, which is 1968. Peter O'Toole, Katharine Hepburn. Great, great, great movie. Just for fun, my favorite fun movie, Boondock Saints. So if you've ever never seen that, we watched it last week, 2 weeks ago. There, Susan. So there's mine.
I forgot one. His Girl Friday, which is old classic
Cary Grant,
and it's in black and white, and it perfectly embodies that patter style of rapid fire dialogue that they had back in when they made those movies, and it's just hilariously funny, and it's just I love that movie. So
that one too.
Shoot.
Nice.
Did PG go yet?
Yeah,
he just finished.
I was mad. I tuned you out. Mama was mad.
We're moderators. I didn't know I'd have a list. I didn't.
I did one just now. Just now because I was going to do it before the panel started.
Easy how you are.
Favorite movie. Maybe not so easy.
You know.
Go, Viv.
Well, because it is kind of different contexts and stuff. You know, like my favorite kind of fun popcorn movie, I think, is really The Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
Visually.
And then, but I also love, I actually Bowie's. Like a lot of chick flicks. Four Weddings and a Funeral is one of my favorite movies.
I give. That's a good one.
That Thing You Do is one of my favorite movies.
Mom?
I did a list real quick, and I actually changed one when she mentioned My Girl Friday. I have Labyrinth. I'm sorry. I just love that movie.
Bowie. Young Jennifer Connelly. Yeah.
Okay, see, you went Connelly.
And Muppets.
Bowie.
And Muppets. 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 Muppets.
Muppets.
Yes.
Dark Crystal.
Ludo.
Muppets.
Gelfling.
Which they're rebooting.
I thought they were doing a sequel, not a,
is it a sequel?
Reboot. I think it's a sequel.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I also have the... preface this with Cyrano de Bergerac, the play. I read it at least once, twice a year. I love it.
Gerard Depardieu?
Yes, the French interpretation. Well, it's not a French interpretation. The Gerard Depardieu that came out late 80s?
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen it, please.
Yeah, wonderful.
I like Roxanne.
Roxanne.
A beautifully fantastic American interpretation with Steve Martin, Daryl Hannah. It was so true to the original play. It was shocking.
You can suffer through the subtitles, Dan. Watch Cyrano. You need
anime. Yes, but this anime is French. Sometime. No, kidding. It's fantastic. It is... Cyrano is like one of the funniest, most heartbreaking movies
and plays fencing.
I've ever. It's so the fencing scene when they're at the theater is so hilarious. It kills me. And Steve Martin did a beautiful job because that was his translation. He did that interpretation for Roxanne, and it was shocking.
We'll talk later.
Yes, you need to come over because I got a couple versions of Cyrano.
My favorite films last year was a French movie, District 13, by it was the sequel to. The District 13 Ultimatum. That was a French film. That was insane. I love French.
We're just messing with you, Mr. Anime. Yeah. You know.
I saw that sometimes in the theater.
Nice.
Another one that I've got listed. I know it's very recent, but Up, because again, it's got a couple different. Oh, I cried. I laughed.
I was hiding under your porch because I love you.
God, you beat me. But no, that's the first movie where I cried for the first 10 minutes with. Barely a line of dialogue.
Yeah.
It was such a beautiful romance. Beautiful.
It was. It's just a movie. The depth of that little 10-minute piece of that movie was just phenomenal.
Oh, and at the Oscars, when they came up, or Golden Globes, he comes up to accept the award, and he's got the bottle cap.
He had the bottle cap, the badge. I had, if anybody saw the live action Peter Pan movie that was done like 5 or 6 years ago, it was so true to the book.
What, Hook?
Was that joke, Mom?
I will cut you.
I will. I kind of did say that to you earlier today. I'm running out of steam with you. You're just so misbehaving.
Want me to take him outside, Mom?
Sure.
I got big chunky rings. So
I actually had that on the list, but I'm taking that off because when she mentioned His Girl Friday, Paris When It Sizzles, if anybody's seen it, Audrey Hepburn.
Yes.
Oh my God. William Holden. Fantastically hilarious. William Holden, so hot, so handsome. And Audrey Hepburn, so funny. It's just a silly romp around Paris, and it's hysterical. I'll put that above My Fair Lady, and even Roman Holiday, I said it. It's hysterical. It's a lesser known, but it's fantastic. And then Signs. I have Signs because that's another movie for me that's got multiple layers. It's got the story of the grieving family. It's got the story of the aliens. And it scared the crap out of me. It just scared me half to death. And to have that kind of roller coaster ride of all those different kinds of emotions, don't.
Alien hand under the
don't
door.
Make
do the noise.
A spider.
Quick, spray it with water.
So those are my.
Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it.
If they haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert until you pointed out that it was a spoiler.
Until then, it was just a conversation.
Well played, Christiana. Well played.
Wait, you're telling me there was a twist in a Shyamalan movie?
I know. Who knew?
Crazy.
Just for that, I'm not making you a
Christiana
thopper. Well,
he did that to just change things up and make it unexpected.
What a twist!
Gotcha.
So, is there any movies that you want to discuss? Any topics? Anything? Any questions?
Since we've been talking about French movies, another movie would be Brotherhood of the Wolf. Is the American name?
I haven't seen that yet.
That
you
was good. I enjoyed
it,
that.
I haven't seen it yet.
I don't know what the Loops to
something.
But yeah,
another one of my favorite chick flicks, which isn't actually a French movie, but has French in the title, French Beat. Kiss.
French Kiss with Meg Ryan and Kevin Klein.
What is your opinion on the Saul Kinds Three Musketeers and Four Musketeers?
I don't have one.
You must watch them. Have you seen Oliver Reed and anything else?
No.
The ones from the 70s?
With Michael York and Oliver Reed and young Richard Chamberlain. Despite the torrid history of these films.
I saw the one with Oliver Platt that they redid.
Do not mention those to me.
Don't judge.
I don't want to. That's fine. You can watch those movies and enjoy them. I just don't want to hear
about
it.
I didn't say I enjoyed it. I said I watched it. Entirely different thing. Does anyone have any questions from the audience?
Call out a favorite movie.
Rich?
That we haven't mentioned.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Arthur!
That's fine. I can't watch Casablanca without wondering what either bird looks like in color.
Magnolia.
Ooh, Magnolia. I like that.
What,
like
Rich? That
movie. Gross Point Blank.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Great soundtrack in that movie.
Anything.
Yeah. First of all, you know. Again, that was a lot of fun. The 80s.
Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned Paris When It Sizzles. Mm-hmm. Just to throw it out there, if people haven't seen it, because you also mentioned the line in Winner, which had Peter O'Toole. Peter O'Toole and Audrey Hepburn together in How to Steal
a Million. Yes.
Yeah. One of the greatest screwball romantic comedies ever.
What did you think of Charade?
I wanted to like it more than I did.
That was.
It was Cary Grant.
I know, and Audrey, and I'll see anything with my girl in it.
Well, you know, welcome to the 1950s.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty much out of time. We actually don't really have to leave because there's nobody.
There's nothing after us.
There's nothing after, but you guys are going to get bored. And
we do need
anyways.
To close out the podcast itself. So I just want to say thank you.
No, I think there was a veto from the audience.
That was denied.
No.
But we can keep talking.
The floor needs a ruling.
This is the end.
I just wanted to thank
only if somebody gets a beer.
I just wanted to thank BG, Christiana, and Thomas for coming up and talking with us.
Sure.
And thank everybody who came out.
You guys.
Really, really made this special. Thank
Even though
you.
Thank
Thomas
you very much.
Wrong.
And if you didn't get your
just as much
your
as
bracelet,
you
yeah. come see me because just to give some geek cred. One of our bracelet buddies, which is what I call everybody that we've given these to, Felicia Day. So if you get one from us, your bracelet buddies with Felicia Day.
She said, I love jewelry. And she
put it right on.
I just committed a Cardinal Sin. Cardinal Sin of podcast.
2 degrees of separation.
Cardinal Sin of podcast. I didn't ask you to plug. Where can people find
right.
you?
I thought you were going to say name dropping, and then I was going to say... That's not a Cardinal Sin.
Well, when I was talking to Cameron...
Are we supposed to do that? Wasn't that in the handbook?
I'm going to change my Facebook picture back to me and Felicia Day now.
You still have a Facebook account?
I don't mind Facebook.
So, PG, where can people find you?
I had a book come out, so...
you did?
Yeah, there was a book that came out.
A very, called, very yeah. long one.
Had pages and everything.
Never ends.
It was a long podcast.
It was a long podcast.
PGHolyfield.com and books available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and anywhere else you would like it. And also there's a dealer table right around the corner. That they've dropped both of them down to very nice prices in the $13, $14 range. So very cool.
Where can we find you on the internets, Christiana?
ChristianaEllis.com has all my stuff. My latest podcast project I'm working on is Merciless Storytellers, which is a podcast based competition for short audio storytelling. Anyone can enter, and it's lots of fun. The second heat is up for voting right now, and although you can get there from my website, the direct link for that one is mercilessstorytellers.blogspot.com.
Excellent. Thomas?
In the basement.
That's where we can find you.
Thecommandline.net.
I don't
have a book. I just have a podcast.
I'm working on a book, though.
Sorry about that.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I've been waiting for it. You know?
Very, very slowly.
That's okay. I'm just tired of people asking me when.
I have a patio book that 30 people have listened
that
to.
Counts.
There's one of them. Not just a tip for those potential audiobook authors in the audience. Nonfiction doesn't do well, apparently, on audiobooks.com.
Good to know.
Yes.
Right. I'm going to actually edit all that to make it make
seamless.
More sense and seamless.
Seamless.
The magic of podcast editing.
Podcasting.
I do want to thank everybody for coming out. You guys made this really special.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.